Good morning again.
Yes, good morning.
Wonderful. I think they all saw that we're doing discernment still, and they all are like,
this again.
I promise today will be much lighter. Yep, it will be much easier to digest. It will be far more applicable, and I guess we're bringing the Word of God the best we can.
We're just joking about how it's glad we picked an easy topic.
Yeah,
coming
yeah.
back to church as.
Right, an easy topic, like discernment, you know. So today, how many of you have ever been shortchanged when you knew there was something more? Like, how many of you are, like, storytellers? How many like to tell stories? You just get all excited. You're kind of more extroverts, or you just like telling stories. Or, yeah, really? Like, three of you?
Introverts
do like storytelling too. And has your story ever been longer than the other person's attention span? Yeah, all the time. How about kids? Kids, have you ever begged mom or dad or grandma or grandpa or babysitter or whoever it is to come and see something, mm-hmm. right? And you finally get them out there? Or up there, or in your room, or wherever it's at, or down in the basement, you made this thing, and they're like, oh, that's great, that's nice, and they want to leave, but there's like six more things that you want to show them, and they're like, nah, I'm good. No, I'm, right?
Poor Elliot, many times at bedtime, and that's, I'm sure, for Taylor, too, like, bedtime, like you need to be in bed, and that's when, well, I just want to finish this, I just want to, and you give them, like, dude, seriously, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, like, come on, sorry, Elliot, sorry, Taylor, I know, like, yes, sorry, Kirk.
Or, let's see, I don't know of any other good examples, but, did you think of one, or you just are agreeing with me?
With that storytelling thing. So.
But like feeling like, oh, I know, all you outdoorsy people. Who would be, if like maybe you're not like a full-blown outdoorsy, but who would tip a little more towards the, I like the outdoors. I'm kind of more of an outdoors kind of a person. Let me outside. That's where I love to be. How many of you outdoorsy people have ever drug along some schmuck like me that would rather be sitting on a couch? Right? And you've got all these things.
I remember our anniversary trip that we took to Duluth.
I know exactly the North Shore you're talking about.
And Marnie and Trisha and I are down sitting by a campfire, right? Right along the shoreline of Lake Superior. Just so beautiful up there, just taking it all in. And we look back up at the cabin, and Kirk is sitting in a chair right up against the window with his laptop computer.
On vacation.
He's what you call indoorsy.
Indoorsy. I thought you were going to talk about the hike.
Oh, yes.
So we go to Gooseberry Falls, which is one of our favorite places. And I don't know if you guys ever went to the backside of Gooseberry Falls, where it goes out the outlet, where it goes out to the ocean there. It's about, I don't know, probably a 40 or 50 mile hike. Or so.
I think it's 2.2 miles is what it is.
Or 50.
Is what it amounts to.
So we're out there on a day. I mean, it's like 115 or something.
68, but that's okay.
it really
this
was about 68.
This is typically 68. How Kirk's stories go. I don't know if you've had him tell you the story before.
Steven and Trisha and Marnie and I, and of the two, you know, Trisha and I would be the indoors low volume
She's
activity.
She's the positive version of Kirk, though, so we call her Perk.
So it's Kirk and Kirk. Yep. Yep, it's Perk and Kirk, exactly. And then Steven and Marnie, they're like, okay, let's go, all right. It's all going to work out. Here we go, let's go. Let's go do some more stuff. Let's do more things. Should we do the things? We got some more of the things to do after we do the things. And Trish and I are like, oh, we woke up.
If you tell Kirk there's food involved, though,
then like, I'm on
then
board.
He will go, definitely.
So we do this. Betty's Pies.
Or Castle Danger.
Castle Danger, yes. Even better than Betty's Pies. I had that conversation with someone this week. And so we hiked out to the shore, you know, about died, you know, and just took pictures. And so we're hiking back, and they want to, I can't remember, what you wanted to, like, take the long way around or something. And Trisha and I are like, we can't even move anymore.
Wait, there's a longer way?
And so both Trisha and I were looking at each other, and we're like, we're going to die. And Steven and Marnie are like, and and keep going all the rest of our life.
There was actually still snow on the ground in Gooseberry Falls. Like, he's...
Oh. I drained my water bottle and stripped off all my clothes. I was running around some branches. I don't know. It was just terrible. Thought I was going to hyperventilate. Might be embellished a little bit. But we really were saying, I think we're going to... We can't make it anymore. So they had more they wanted to see. They had more they wanted to do. They had more that they wanted to experience with us. That was cut short. We're going to jump into a scripture today where we got that same kind of a feeling going on. And has anyone ever sent a text message, an email, or a letter that has gotten misinterpreted? Why do they get misinterpreted? Why does text get misinterpreted? Well, we can't see body language, right? We can't see the facial expressions. And you know what else we can't hear? We can't hear tone. How many children have ever, husbands, have ever gotten in trouble for your tone? You didn't say anything wrong, you said it wrong. You didn't say the words wrong, you said the words wrong, right? It was your tone. What was that eye roll over there? I felt that eye roll all the way over here. We're going to be having a talk after church, Aspen. You're not going to grandma's anymore, and I'm sending you to the Leans. We can't see tone. And so we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 5 today, and the writer of Hebrews is talking to the Hebrews, to the people that he's writing to. And we don't know the tone here, so we get the message, but we would probably sense that the writer is possibly a little frustrated, possibly agitated. It could be, we don't know, the tone. Could be he's pleading and longing, you know, like, oh, you guys are missing out, just over the next hill. If you just walk, I promise. It's not, introverts, when an extrovert ever says, I promise, it's not that far, don't believe them, because it's not true. You're going to go further than you really wanted to go.
When you retell the story, you're going to explain it further than you wanted to go to.
Right, exactly. So, the writer is possibly maybe longing that they would go further, or maybe there's a sadness. We don't really know. We're kind of reading that into there. We typically would read it as frustration, but we don't know if that's what it is for sure. It doesn't really matter. We know what he says, and if we get to it in Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 11. And previously, he's been talking about Melchizedek and the priesthood of Jesus and all these phenomenal things of God, and talking about stuff that he felt either because he knew them or because he sensed it in his spirit at the moment. Like, I don't know how, when you're writing on scrolls, like, this makes sense as we're reading it. But if you put yourself in the writer's place, writing on, you know, animal hide or papyrus, you know, with, you know, whatever you're writing with, how do you pause in the middle of that, go, because he's not talking to them, he's writing it to them. How does in mid-thought he goes, I got a lot more to say about this, but you guys aren't quite ready. So either he knew them or he sensed in the spirit, like, this is maybe all that you guys can handle. And so let's just read this. Verses 11 and 12 out of Hebrews chapter 5. Concerning him, talking about Jesus, and of course in the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you've become, everyone say that, dull of hearing. For though by this time, you guys ought to be teachers, and yet you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. And we're going to just go on to the rest of the passage, and then we'll go back and talk about this again. The next verses say, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the what? Mature. Everyone say mature. It's for the mature. Say mature. It's for the mature who, because of their practice, have their senses trained to discern. We're talking about discernment, remember? To discern good and evil. All right, let's backtrack just a little bit. Dull of hearing. Husbands, children, have you ever been accused of being dull of hearing? The other day, I was sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden, Marnie just stands up, just torqued off. She's like, "You never listen to me," and storms off. I'm like, what a weird way to start a conversation. That was a joke. That didn't really happen.
Are you sure about that?
Has there been possible contention in our house about, I say she never said it, she says she said it? Maybe. There's been some.
You guys are pros when it comes to communication.
Communication,
though,
we excel at not communicating. You guys know this. We are very forthcoming when we do our marriage counseling. Listen to us. Listen well. Except on the communication part, because we don't do so good at that. We're working on it. We're trying. But anyone ever kind of zoned out when the pastor was talking or something? You have, because I've watched your eyes. Yep. All of a sudden, all you guys are hearing is Charlie Brown teacher. Womp, 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 womp. Right? Yes. Only like 7 of you know Charlie Brown teacher. Like, do you guys know that? Okay. Yes. They just didn't find it funny.
Well, even your Spice Girls comment kind of flat too, though. So.
That's true. So dull of hearing. I thought this was fun. So I told you this would be a little lighter today. So bear with me. We're going to look at what this word dull of hearing is translated in a few other translations. Okay? So these are just, it's the same line, the same part of that verse that says, I've got more to tell you, but you've become dull of hearing. What does that say in other versions? Dull of hearing. Well, one version says, you no longer try to understand. Has anyone ever been frustrated with a spouse, with a student, with a friend, with a child, and felt like they're no longer even trying to, like it's kind of more of an effort thing. You're not even trying to listen to me, right? You're dull of hearing. You're not even trying to understand. How about this one? One version says, you're spiritually dull and you don't even seem to listen. You're spiritually dull and you don't seem to listen. Has that ever described any of your lives? Let's hope not, but it probably has, right? Because the writer of Hebrews is writing to a real church that's living real life with a real resurrected Jesus, right? This one is going to by far be my favorite one. You become sluggish in the hearings. All right, parents, this is a new one to use for your kids. Listen, kiddos, you guys have been becoming a little sluggish in the hearings lately. Sluggish in the hearings.
It has like a medieval ring
to it. Yeah.
Like you could write a ballad about that.
Right, yeah.
Kirk Snazo was sluggish in the hearings.
We were all storming in the castle and
that's
then
your epitaph.
We became sluggish in the hearings.
Oh my
and then
goodness.
We were defeated.
Sorry.
How about too lazy to understand? Ouch. Some of these hurt worse than others. Yeah, isn't it? It's always feels good when the word of God slaps us, even though it hurts. It is good things. Last one. You've become slow to understand. Slow to understand. And so the writer of Hebrews is preaching to these people, right? Preaching to this church. And he's got so much more of God that he wants to express to them and reveal to them. And, oh, man, if parents, have you ever agonized over, you've kind of laid out the boundaries. You said, all right, guys, if you don't have your, whatever, have your room cleaned by this weekend, we're not going to do whatever. You don't get to do the fun thing, or we aren't going to do the fun thing, or whatever it is. And you keep all week long reminding them, and it gets to the weekend, and you realize, I've got to follow through on this, or I'm going to be a terrible parent. Like, I gave my word. And you've got to discipline the kids, and you know they're missing out. And you're like, I've felt that angst before. I'm like, come on. Oh, it's going to take you 4 minutes, but I already said it. And believe you me, if I said it, we're not going to do it. Like, it's like we're following through on that bugger. And you agonize. You're like, come on. I'm not going to do it for you, but I want to. Like, I want you to participate in more. And the writer of Hebrews here is saying, guys, There's so much more. And I just want to tell you today, guys, there's so much more. There's so much more. If you're watching on video or if you're listening on the radio, your experience of Christianity this far, there is so much more. Don't stop short. Don't sell God short. Don't become dull of hearing. Don't stop where you're at. Press into the more of God. And I just felt as I was preparing this message, guys, I want to spark a hunger in you guys to go, there's more, there's more, there's more. If COC has ever been anything, whether we do it well or not, our heart has been always to create an environment in this place where people hunger for the more of God. Not that we're perfect in that, but that there's an atmosphere that I want more of God. I want to have less of me, less sin in my life, less junk, more of Jesus, more ministering to other people, more reaching the world, more touching the lost, more serving one another. There's more. There's more. I don't want to stop here. And that's I feel that urgency and that emphasis that the writer of Hebrews was saying is there's more. Don't be spiritually dull and don't stop listening. Don't get sluggish in your hearings, right? We're sluggish in lots of other areas, but don't be sluggish in our hearings. And so there's more. So I want to just go through a couple things. And you guys get to take a quiz today, okay? Yeah.
Is this a pass-fail grade on the curve?
It is not. It is a multiple choice, Okay. And it may sting a little. I hope it does. That's my prayer, actually, is that it's uncomfortable a little bit, but not in a horrible way, not in a condemning way, not in a guilty way. But the writer is trying to say, I've got more to share about God with you. And it became canonized, which means it's now a part of the canon of Scripture, the what we call our Bible. And so it's the Word of God. And so why do we struggle to hear the Word of God, to discern the voice of God, to ingest the Word of God, to move forward, to have the more of God in our life? And these are by no means exhaustive, but I just threw a couple up on the screen. And I want us to do a little self-evaluation today. You don't have to report this to anybody. You can keep notes to yourself. But I want us to make us aware. I want this to be applicable. I want us, as we walk out of this place today, to have our eyes open and say, all right, what is stopping up the more of God in my life? Maybe it's nothing on this list, but maybe this will spark something in your heart and go, because the writer of Hebrews is saying, there's more. I want you to mature. If you could see what God has for you. If you could see the lives that you would touch if you were walking in maturity. If you could see the junk that you would sidestep if you were walking as a mature Christian, but you're stuck being a baby and pounding kids with your rattle, right? Just, we're going to talk about immaturity a little bit. And we get our own selves in so much hot water and garbage because we're just immature. And not even just emotionally, but spiritually. And the writer of Hebrews is saying, man, if you knew what you would see, what you would avoid, what you would embrace, if you could go beyond being an infant. But right now, the problem is the brakes are on because you stopped listening. You're dull of hearing. You've become slow to ingest the Word of God. And so we just want to throw a couple of these up on the screen and just as possible reasons why we might kind of stop short. First one, self-preservation.
Ouch.
Ouch. How many of you have ever read the Word of God and you get to a part that you don't like and you're like, ooh, I'm kind of... I read it, so I can say it right. I read it, and I'm gonna skip past that because if I really stop and dwell on that, God's gonna put His finger on things in my heart. And how many times does that stop our walk with God from moving forward? How many times does self-preservation? Because honestly, we've talked about that. There's just this whole 3-4 months that we've been kind of doing Wednesday nights and Sundays. We've talked about this idea that I think I know what's best. And so I want to preserve my vision of what I think is best. And God's word and God's voice and His Holy Spirit is nudging us. No, that's a path of destruction, or that's at least not a path of good growth. And we're like, no, God, but I know, I see. And we cling to these things. Does that make sense? Do you guys resonate with that? That like this is probably the ouchiest one of all of them. Like, it's like, I want to do what I want to do. Like, it's just selfishness. It's I want to hang on to these things.
I'm desperately trying to find.
I see you desperately
yes,
trying to
definitely.
Find something.
Yes, definitely.
Let me read a verse as you're looking for that verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 says this, "Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it." And Jesus is speaking to the human condition. He is speaking, listen, people, he's speaking to you right now in this moment today because every one of you wants to save your life. We want to self-preserve, right? And the kingdom of God goes so contrary to that. Jesus says, if you want to live, you got to die, right? If you want to go up, you need to go down, right? Like, it's this upside down kingdom. And we want to self-preserve. And Jesus said, man, that's the way to death. At the very least, it's the way to not grow. Okay, Jesus, what you say is right. What I believe is wrong. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember what happened in Exodus where the Israelites, when they were out in the desert, how they got food? Do you remember the story about manna and stuff like that? I'm not going to go back and talk about that. But what would happen if they tried keeping the manna for day two? Do you remember what would happen to it?
Do you remember? Rot.
Rot, to get reduced to maggots, right? And in Proverbs, Solomon didn't write this. This is from another writer in Proverbs called Agur. And he says this. He says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you." That's his writing to God. He's saying that to God. Like, that's a warning against self-preservation. If you're looking for that, it's Proverbs 30, verses 8 through 9.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right, next on the list. So hopefully you guys have made some. I would say that every single one of us, unless you are Christianity perfection, have struggled with self-preservation. That's what we fight against. We wrestle against our flesh. So we'll get that one out of the way, the hard one out of the way right away. All right, distraction. Anyone ever been too distracted? I wrote down in my notes, speaking of stories, I'm trying to get better, but I'm kind of famous, at least to Marnie and Steven and a few others. When I'm telling a story, Like there could be a terrorist in the room and people could be like on the floor and I'd be talking to someone and they'd be like, dude, there's a terrorist. And I'd be like, no, but the other day I'm so zoned in and so clueless to what's going on around me. I am so distracted. Like, I'm zoned in on the moment, but I'm distracted to everything else. And that's, you'd think that's a good thing, but it's not always. But when it comes to the voice of the Lord, seems like we get distracted by everything else. And it seems like that was almost a word we heard here this morning, isn't it? To get our eyes on Jesus. And it seems like so many other things. Yeah, but God, did you see this? And did you see this? And when we go to read the Word of God, we're reading, or when we're praying and listening for His voice, when we're worshiping and God's just putting things in our heart. Yeah, but, and we're just so focused on something else that we maybe still have our practices in our life. We still have the Word of God. We still have worship, whatever. We still have prayer. But we're distracted. We're not in this moment. So you don't raise your hands. But, you know, how many of you this week or, you know, this month or this year, how many has distraction maybe? Maybe my growth with God is. Now, remember, this is all spoken in grace. This is not in condemnation. This is identifying what the writer of Hebrews is talking about here and saying, let's move forward. Let's identify things so that, like Mary, she's gone already, but what Mary said this morning, when God put his finger on something, that was for her benefit, not to condemn her. It was to change her thinking about something so that she could have life, right? So distraction is one. This one's kind of the same, but a little different. Disinterest. How many of you you would never admit it, but just in this season of life, maybe you just don't care about God. You know what? He's a nice guy, and he loves me, and I love him, and whatever. I just don't really care. It's called apathy, you know, just consuming our appetites with something else other than God, and I'm satisfied. That's turned out to be more of an ouch than I expected and intended it to be, but apathy kills our forward progress with God. It stops us where we're at. And the writer of Hebrews would say, you're supposed to be teachers. Man, there's so much more, and yet you've stopped kind of in this spot. Next one, expectations. Stephen, you talked about this one. how we approach the Word of God. Are we looking into the Word of God? Now, study is different, kind of. But when we're reading the Word of God and we're letting God speak to us, we shouldn't be approaching the Word of God to validate what we believe. We should let the Word of God be the Word of God. Let it say. Now, I'm not saying don't have good theology. That's why I wanted to separate study, because that's a little different. But when on our regular practice, as we're meditating on the Word of God, and as we're doing our daily devotions, and we're just letting the Word of God speak to us, if we come into that with an agenda, often we can get not what we're supposed to get out of that. We're just looking for things to resonate what I already believe in my heart and spirit. And I think that's so common. Amen. Okay. I thought you would say something.
You want me to say something?
If you want to say something.
I think I want to piggyback off of your next one, actually.
Okay, okay.
But if that's okay.
I knew I had a lot of stuff today, and I didn't want you to be shy.
Well, I kind of blasted ahead last week, unfortunately. Sorry, everyone. Sorry.
The next one is familiarity. Oh, I know. You guys ever read through a passage of Scripture? You're like, yeah, but I know that. And if we ever get in a spot where our hearts are tender and soft, and we just put on the brakes in the I know, and we just stop, all of a sudden, it's just like the doors come open to that Scripture, and God just speaks to you, and you're like, oh, I never saw that before. I never saw that before. I say this all the time, but Dwight used to get so mad. He would get so many Monday mornings after we had a guest speaker come in here, and you guys would be so excited about what that guest speaker said. You're tweeting about it and Facebooking about it, and you're calling Dwight, oh, I'm so glad you brought him in because he talked about this. And Dwight would throw his notes on the table and say, I've been preaching this for 17 weeks. Some guy comes in here and rattles it off, and they're all like, oh, that's the best thing we've ever heard. And Dwight didn't get mad a lot, but he got mad at that. He's like, why don't they listen to me? Sometimes it's because of familiarity, right? Sometimes you just need a different voice to tell you the same thing. Yep.
That's why it's always my goal when I preach to blow it so badly that you guys want Kirk back. Like, okay, please, please. Did he really tell us to stop reading our Bible last week? Like, seriously? Like, yeah, definitely. I'm more of the shock factor, sorry. But this familiarity, like, this is, for me, when I was looking into this passage, like, Kirk asked me, you know, what is holding this audience back? In Hebrews, what is holding these guys back? And right away, that's what crept to the surface in my mind, is familiarity. Because he says something like that. He says, you can't handle everything that I want to teach you. What's crazy is he's writing this to Hebrews, right? And these people, right. I don't know if you know Jewish culture, but by the age of 8, those buggers have the entire Torah memorized. By age 12, they have to have the Tanakh, which is the whole Old Testament, memorized word for word. They know Scripture, and every Sunday they go into synagogue and they hear the word just recited over and over and over again. And familiar, have you ever gotten to your house in a car ride and not remembered anything from the car ride?
But
like,
I
all of a sudden you're in
town,
your driveway. And you're like, wait, like,
did I run over anybody along
exactly.
the way? Like, what happened?
Exactly.
I don't even remember
and,
driving
And your
home.
Brain just kind of goes into autopilot. And what I feel the voice in this passage is telling me is, like, you know something to the point of numbness.
Yeah.
You know it to the point of numbness where you have just become numb to this. You're so familiar with this. And I can't move forward because of your familiarity, exactly, with how familiar you are with this. We gotta, and so he's really just trying to get into them, because we go through this track. If you've ever listened to the Pledge of Allegiance in elementary school, in kindergarten, how does it sound, right? Allegiance to the flame. God, stand, justice, right? Like those kids. And then in first grade, those kids are pros, and they're just like, oh yeah, I pledge allegiance to them. And then you go to the freshman year, and the freshmen are blah, 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 right? Right? There's this regression. There's this regression, and that's what he's combating against. You were so excited, and then you progressed, and then you regressed. and I can't move forward because where you're at right now, you reverted back to childhood, unfortunately.
One of my favorite little nuggets or tidbits about Ravi Zacharias is that one of the things that he taught about often was the wonder of God, retaining wonder. Yes. Guys, we can't lose our wonder. Yes. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. That's when the things of God stop happening in our life. Oh, yeah, I've seen that before. Oh, yeah, I know that. It's this, we want this to be so ingrained in us that it's part of us, and yet still treat it like the first day we ever saw it. It's an odd balance because they're opposite of each other. This awe and wonder of, oh, God said he loved the whole world, so he gave it. Like, there's this, and not being silly, but just this, oh, this magnificence and awe and reverence and wonder and amazement of a little child, and yet the knowing it so well that we've embraced it. Like, those two in combination, not just the, oh, I know it so well, I've lost the wonder, I've lost the awe of it, because that's when I lose God's freshness of his voice in my life, whether it's in my spirit, whether it's in the word of God. I want to be knowing that I need him, fresh manna every day. Mm-hmm. Fresh manna every day, building on where I've been and what I've learned. Not that is garbage, but fresh manna every day. Fresh manna, fresh hearing the voice of the Lord.
Because these five things that you have on here, and I know you have another one, they create a false sense of maturity. Because yeah. I'm so familiar with this,
yep.
and I've got expectations
yeah,
for you, God, that
God's
you better,
yep.
and I don't need to pay attention to this.
Yep.
I've heard this all heard before, right? Yep. And oh man, he's talking about discernment for 5 weeks in a row. Okay, snooze. Okay, teach me something I need to know.
Right,
right. And self-preservation. All five of those indicators of why we struggle to discern the voice of God are indicators or earmarkers for a false sense of maturity where we think we've got it all together and we know everything there is to know about God.
Amen.
And
last one is not practiced, just not using it in our life. How many of you, like, you heard something amazing, had this great revelation of God in a service or at a conference somewhere? How many of you guys have phenomenal conference notes when a special speaker was here? And then that's where it ended, right? It's, you didn't put that in practice. It didn't become a part of your daily routine. This revelation of God, this word of God, this what I've learned, it hasn't been just exercised. It hasn't been put into practice to affect my life. So I know there's tons more. How many of you guys have ever learned a second language or dabbled in it or had Spanish in high school or something like that? Anybody? A couple of you? How well can you speak Spanish after 3 or 4 years of not using that? Donde? That's about all I know. Hola.
Muy poco.
That's it. You know? Are these things that we learn, the retention of them comes from the practice of them. When we were redoing the sound booth and when COVID started, we started doing worship videos, and so we use a different sound recorder for that, a different software, and you think I could remember how to use the software? No clue. Like, I set it all up on there. I mean, zero. I had to Google everything. I'm watching videos. Because, like, I knew it. I did it. But I haven't done it for so long, I don't really know how to use it. And same with the soundboard. We had to reprogram the soundboard. Steven's asking me, okay, how do we do this? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's on here. I put it in here. Well, how'd you get it there? Now, I don't know. I haven't done it for a couple years or a year. And that stuff, it falls out of your head. The same thing with the revelation of God and the word of God and the practices of God. If they're not just exercised in our life all the time, or if we're just ignorant of them, if we haven't been trained in hearing the voice of God and how to read the word of God, we're not going to get the word of God out of it. We're not going to hear the voice of the Lord. So does any of that sound familiar? Does any of that resonate in your guys' life? Guys, just the word of the Lord is saying, don't stop short. There's more. There's more for you than this. And let's go end with this here today. Concerning him, we have much to say. We've already read this. We have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have, what does that say? Become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles or the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Stephen said it earlier, if regressed, this is not an intelligence issue. You're hard to hear. You're hard to understand. It's hard for you to understand, some versions say. It's not an intelligence issue. And it's not that they'd never progressed issue. It's they've allowed themselves to become dull of hearing. What are you letting in your lives? And hopefully nothing. Hopefully you guys are, man, we're talking to me and you today. These guys are all golden. You got it nailed. Praise Jesus. Hopefully we can be like you someday. You know, I don't know. This is where the Lord led us. And if any of these, or if this inspired something else and sparked it in your heart, that maybe I'm shortchanging the work of God in my life because of fill in the blank. I've become dull of hearing. I don't just embrace the word of God like I should. I don't listen to the preacher like I should. I don't listen to my friend who's sharing a scripture with me. Oh, yeah, I know that one. That's a cool meme. Yep, love that picture. And that's as far as it goes. Does it get into my heart? Does it change my life? Is it stirring in me? The writer of Hebrews would say, guys, there's so much more. There's so much more. Hunger for the things of God. Lean into the things of God. Leave here going, all right, if I know one thing, I don't want to be dull of hearing, and I know there's more. I don't want to stop the work of God. And, oh, by the way, I can stop the work of God. He's sovereign, and yet he's gracious. He'll let you just stop there. We see it in Scripture. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You guys have stopped up the work of God, but you don't have to lose hope. There's more. Like, you can move beyond this. So I want to end with that. Let's pray today, and you guys will be free to go. Father, I just bless this people with a hunger for the things of God. I bless this people with open ears. I bless this people with hungry hearts. I bless this people, God, with just the realization of maybe what's stopping up the path to maturity in our lives, God. Thank you for growth, and thank you that we're going to be seeing a lot of it. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Have a blessed day, guys.